James chapter 4. And I'll, lay the foundation or get this started with, some people, and it's been different over the years. Some people call this coming up Saturday, in-state rival week. And I don't want to get something started. But anyway, there's been times where, that's your rival, your in-state rival, things like that. And they call it, this team maybe has no chance to go to the playoffs, things like that, but they would love to ruin their in-state rival's opportunity to go to the playoffs, right? They're their rival. They want to be the spoiler. We're not ranked higher than them, but if we could just beat them and spoil their season, I would love that, things like that. And so that's been going on for years. But we have what we're going to talk about tonight. This is exactly what the devil would like to do. Once you get saved, it's over. He cannot touch your soul. Your soul is going to heaven no matter what. And, praise the Lord for that. Eternal security, we're saved, we're sealed to the day of redemption. He cannot change that. But he would love to be the spoiler. He knows that you're going to be there one day, and of course we mention it, and we're going to mention it again tonight about rewards and things like that, standing before Christ. He would like to be the spoiler. He'd be like, oh, I didn't get their soul, and they're not coming to hell, but if I could just spoil their life, or if I could just spoil their opportunity to please God, or if I could just spoil their opportunity to make God proud of them, that's what he's going to do. Again, I don't want to go into the rivalry to the point where, oh, I hate that team, or that's our ultimate rivals and things like that. But that's exactly the way that Satan looks at Jesus. He's defeated him, and he there's nothing he can do about it. But if he could spoil some of his children, he would love to do that. So what we're going to talk about tonight, the title of my sermon is this: we have to resist. And we have to refuse our way to our reward. Resist and refuse our way to our reward. Because Satan's going to be, he's that spoiler alert. He's going to do everything he can do to mess us up, to trip us up, so that we will not get any rewards or a little amount. We saw in Sunday school today that you can do things to lose your rewards and things like that. So the title of the sermon is Resist and refuse your way to the reward. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Lord, I ask that you could help us. The Bible talks about that we got to be, watching out for Satan, because he's diligent. He's going to walk to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. It's his desire, Lord, those of us that are saved, it's just his desire to trip us up and to cause us to stumble in our Christian life. And obviously not to be joyful, not be an example, and definitely not get rewarded when we stand before Christ. So help us to be on the lookout for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look, first of all, James 4:7, a very, very familiar verse. And James 4:7 says this: submit yourselves therefore to God. So that's our first step. So, okay, God, I'm saved, I'm your child, I'm submitting my will to yours. I want you to have your will and way in my life. I am submitting to you. What do you want me to do? Show me. And I'm submitting to you. And that's a good step. And when you do that, again, you're on the opposite side of Satan. You're his rival. He's your arch nemesis, all that kind of stuff, if you want to call it. And so what we have to do is not only submit to the Lord, but we have to resist the devil. Why? Because he's going to try to trip us up. He's going to try to do that. So it says here, if we'll submit to God, then we resist the devil, then he'll flee. Why? Because that's the two steps. He's going to try to keep us from submitting to God and doing what God wants us to do in our life. And if he's got us to do that, we're not going to be rewarded. Why? Because we're not living like God wants us to live. Then he's going to say, okay, that person has submitted. They are trying to please God in their life, so I'm going to tempt them, or I'm going to try to cause them to lose faith, and I'm going to try to cause them to, covet things and things like that. So we have to resist that. Then he will flee. So we see the word resist here means to stand against, literally means to withstand, an act of opposition. That's exactly what a fight would be, a battle would be, an act of opposition. I want to please God. Satan does not want us to please God, so there's going to be a fight. that we have to stand against that opposition. To oppose. An army resists the process of the enemy actively by encountering and defeating it. And so that's exactly, you know, in wars, there's tactics, there's obviously plans and things like that. There's different types of weapons, and we fight against it with the opposition. What would do that? Of course, with military, you have weapons, you have computers, you have all kinds of people with knowledge and things like that. And it is a battle. So we have to take the Word of God and battle Satan with it. Take our life experience of where God has shown us how that we can defeat him and use that. It's going to be a fight. It means also to strive against or to endeavor to counteract. So whatever Satan wants us to do, we're going to resist that and do the opposite. It means to battle or to, the next word here is to refuse. That's what resist means. If Satan wants you to do this, I refuse to do that. I'm not going to do it. You know, just go on out of here. And so we see in Ephesians 6:13 says here, wherefore, because of all that, because the devil's our enemy, because he's going to try to trip us up, because he's going to try to keep us from being rewarded. Wherefore, because of all that, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. That was one of the definitions of resist, stand against. That you may be able to stand against that in that evil day, having done all to stand. So we've got to do our part. God will do his part. We've got to submit. We've got to resist. The devil will flee and God will bless. So then we saw the word refuse. Let's look at the definition of refuse. Is this, to deny a request. You know, that last bite of steak on your plate. And your wife says, are you going to eat that? Mm-hmm. And, and she goes to get it. You would move the fork out of the way. I got that. I did this to my son, and I've never heard the end of it. We were at Cracker Barrel, and he had one bite of pancake left. And I think he even went to the restroom and came back, and that one bite was there. And as soon as he sat down, I stuck it with my fork right in my mouth. And everybody was like, they could not believe I took his last bite. I was saving that bite. I've been thinking about it the whole time I was in the restroom. I got one more bite of pancake with that syrup all in it, and it's going to be awesome. And I stole it. So again, you do, having done all to stand, you have to stand against. So you refuse that request. Can I have that? No. Would you like to do this? No. Would you like to drink some of this or take some of this or participate in this? No. That's refusing. And then even a demand. We have examples, and we're going to look at them here in just a second, where godly people, Christians, were told to do something. You either do this or we're taking your head off. You either do this or we're going to throw you in the lion's den. You either do this or we're going to put you in prison. I'm not going to. They refused. No matter what the consequence was, they refused. And so, again, sometimes we can resist. No, not going to do it. No. Sometimes we just have to outright refuse. No. I'm not going to. So to deny that request or to deny that demand, of course we have to deny the invitation. Hey, would you like? There's, you know, in the Proverbs chapter 7, the harlot invited the young man. He should have refused. There's other places in the Bible. We're going to see one in a minute about Joseph. He was invited to participate in sin. He refused the invitation. So to decline to accept what is offered. And the devil's going to make sure that we have all kinds of things offered unto us, and we have to resist it, we have to refuse it, or it's going to rob us of our reward. So, I'm going to use some definitions, which I've already done, and I'm going to use some biblical illustrations here in a second, and then we have a few points, and we'll be finished. So, the first thing we're going to look at is some biblical examples here. And, of course, we mentioned this, Daniel 1:8. You don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. But Daniel says here, Daniel purposed in his heart. So he knew the principle that I have to submit to God and resist the devil. He knew that. And he purposed in his heart saying that I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to pray to him three times a day. And any temptation that the devil throws in front of me, I'm resisting it. I'm outright refusing it. So Daniel purposed in his heart. And again, I've heard preachers say he made a decision before a decision needed to be made. So he determined at a young age, if I'm ever offered alcohol, I'm going to say no. If I'm ever offered to participate in this sin, I'm going to say no. And so he had planned. It didn't catch him by surprise. He had purposed in his heart. Anything that comes my way that's against God and against this Word of God, I'm going to say no. He purposed in his heart. that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine. And we talked about this a couple Wednesday nights ago when we were talking about alcohol. So what he did, he refused the king's meat and he refused the king's wine. And of course, it upset some. And of course, we know the story. They were plotting against him and so forth. But he refused. Daniel 6:13 says this. Then answered, because you know his testimony had gotten out. He loved God. He prayed three times a day. He was a good Christian and so forth. And that was aggravating some people. And it will. But it says here, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. And then it says here, then answered they and said before the king that Daniel... and it's always that Christian or you know that person that thinks they're better than themselves or that, you know, that's what they said, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king. He's not obeying the rules. He's not doing what you said. And it says here, nor the decree that thou hast signed and put in his petition. Three times a day, he still made his petition. He went and prayed. So in other words, he refused to bow down. He refused to stop doing what he was supposed to do, pray. Then David refused. In 1 Samuel 17:29, I believe it says something like, he refused to let the giant just keep running off at the mouth. He was there, of course, we know, I believe, I'm paraphrasing here, he was supposed to take his older brothers some lunch. And he gets there and Goliath is down in the bottom of the valley and he's cursing God and making fun of them and things like that. And David refused to let him keep running off of the mouth. And he put his sling to work there and his trust in God to work there. And he refused to let them keep on talking. And I'm going to read a couple of verses in Genesis 39. If you want to turn there, you can. If not, I'll read them to you. Genesis 39, 1 through 8. And not only did... Daniel refused and resist. David refused and resist. And then here's the story about Joseph. It says here, and when Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of Egypt, had brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, and it says here, which had brought him down thither. In verse 2 it says here, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. So any time that there's a person that has submitted to the Lord, and it's obvious that God's with him, it's going to be obvious to everybody else. Again, you can just tell that person. I guarantee that person's a Christian, just by the way they look, just by the way their demeanor, just by how they respond to things. Just how, you can just tell. And this is what happened here to Joseph. And it says here, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And again, if we're going to be prosperous, God's going to have to bless and so forth. And it says here, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, and his master saw. So not only in verse 2 was God with him, and whatever he did was just prosperous. Everything he touched turned to gold, seemed like. It says in verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. He could just tell. And then it goes on to say, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper at his hand. And he said, there's just something about this guy. And what it was, he had submitted himself to the Lord. The Lord was blessing him, and he was doing that which pleased God. And so God blessed it. And verse 4 says, and Joseph found grace in his sight. This is talking about the boss, Potiphar. And it says here, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. Verse 5, it says here, and it came to pass from time that he had made him overseer of his house over all that he had, the Lord blessed. And he said, this guy, when I put him in charge of, let's say, this income, woof. I put him in charge of these people, woof. I put him in charge of these crops and things, woof. He could just see the blessing of God. And he's overseer. And all that he had, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house, it says here, for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And verse 6 says, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand and knew not what all he had. So in other words, the owner, the boss here, didn't even know how much money he had in the bank. He didn't even know how much crops that he had. He didn't even know how much animals that he had, things like that. It was just so much more than it used to be. He was like, this is good. And he left that all in Joseph's hands. He wasn't checking it all. And it says here, and saved the bread, which he did eat. He pretty much watched out for that. And then Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, "Lie with me." And verse 8 says right here, "But he refused." If he'd have done that, he would have lost some rewards. Wouldn't have lost his salvation, but he would have lost some rewards. He would have lost some of this prosperity. He would have lost God's favor. Why? And so he didn't want to lose that. So what did he do? He refused. And he said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in thy house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand," and so forth. And then he goes on to say, "Everything but you. You belong to him. He's not sharing you with me. All this other stuff he's letting me have. But I'm not going to do that." So he refused. So we see here Joseph was prosperous because he was well favored and blessed of God, but he refused to commit adultery with her. And you know the story. He ran and left his coat with her, and she lied and all that kind of stuff. But we see he refused. Another place is in Hebrews. Hebrews 11. We're looking at another Bible character here that resisted and refused. Moses in chapter 11, the great faith chapter, verse 24, 25, and 26. It says here, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years," that's in other words, he was a little older, a little more wise, I guess. Then it says right there, "refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, and esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches and treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." God was going to reward him, and he chose to be a part of God's chosen people. So we see here he refused. What did he refuse? He refused the lifestyles of the rich and famous. That's what he was there. He was living in Pharaoh's house. He had whatever he wanted to eat, whenever he wanted. He dressed how he wanted to dress. He had what he wanted when he wanted it. He had all the money, things like that. And so, again, we see here that, hey, he had it made. But he's like, look, there's no favor. There's no blessing. This is not being submitted to God. So by faith, I'm going to refuse all that stuff. So that's what the devil will say. Hey, money's the issue. You know, the more you got, the happier you'll be. No, the more God you got, the happier you'll be. The more you submit to God, the happier you'll be. The more you submit to God, the more blessed you will be, not the money. A house is not going to make you happy. That's not what's going to make you blessed. Nothing wrong with having those things. But he refused that. I'm going to choose, even if I have to suffer affliction, even if I lose some of those things that I've enjoyed, I'm esteeming the being right with God, greater riches. Doing what God wants me to do, greater riches. So he refused that. And the last one we'll look at is Jesus in Matthew 4. Matthew 4, we saw that Joseph refused, Potiphar's wife. Moses refused that lifestyle of the rich and famous. And then Jesus refused. And we see in chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, it says here, "And then Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." And so, of course, we know the devil couldn't kill Jesus, couldn't hurt Jesus. He couldn't do anything unless God allowed it. But he was going to tempt Jesus. Verse 2 says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards were hungered." Again, my soul, I can imagine. I mean, me fasting 40 minutes, I'm hungered. Much less 40 days and 40 nights. And then verse 3 says, "And when the tempter came, he said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made to bread." So he knew he was hungry. This was before the Hangry commercials and the Snickers bar, all right? He knew he was hungry and said, "If you're hungry, just turn these stones into bread. You're God's son. You can do that." And verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So now we're seeing that these men, Joseph refused, Daniel refused, Moses refused, and now here's Jesus saying, "Nope, not going to do that. I'm going to live by the word of God." And he answered him with the word of God. Verse 5, "Then the devil, taking him up into the city," or holy city, "and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God," just kept bringing that back. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to just keep saying, if. And just, you got to resist, and you got to refuse. And one day you'll be rewarded for it. "Cast thyself down, as it is written, and he shall give thee angels concerning thee," or charge concerning thee, "and that thy hands, they shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. So again, now he's taking some scripture, taking it out of the context a little bit and saying, hey, that's true. You're not going to live by bread, but by the word of God. So in the word of God says that he'll give you angels to take care of you. So just throw yourself off this high place and the angels will swoop down and get you even before you stub your toe. And Jesus said in verse 7, unto him it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So again, he answered him. He refused. He resisted with the word of God. Verse 8, and again the devil taketh him up an exceeding high mountain and showeth him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, all these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And at this time, obviously, God had allowed Satan to have power, the prince of the power of the air and of this world. He's the God of this world. And he said, you know, the Bible says that God did that, and if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give it all back to you. And he said in verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence. He resisted. He refused. Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only thou shalt serve, or him shalt only serve. So we see here that Jesus resisted. So we see if we're going to be rewarded one day, we're going to have to resist, and we're going to have to refuse. So now we'll look at a few things here, my points. That was the definitions and now the biblical examples, and now we'll look at some points here. So the first thing was to refuse. What we're going to have to refuse is refuse to take advantage of your freedoms. Refuse to take advantage of your freedoms. And we're all tempted of doing this. A little kid in the nursery. The nursery worker walks out to get something and goes back. They will be tempted to do something they shouldn't. All right, well, she's coming back. You know, our parents say, look, we're going to go to the store. Y'all do this, this, and this, but don't do this, this, and this. And when they pull out of the driveway, that kid, I remember being there, would be tempted to do that. You know, don't touch this. That's just like saying touch it to a little kid. Whatever you do, do not touch this. Okay, like, you know, some cookies on the counter. You know, do not touch those cookies. They have to cool. Ugh, I can't do nothing but think about the cookie. All right, my mom or my wife said, don't touch them. They got to cool, but they smell good. And that's my favorite. And so that temptation. So if somebody tells you don't do something, our flesh, you know, again, some people, that's the way they get you to do something, tell you not to do it. They use reverse psychology on you. Whatever you do, don't you vacuum this room. And you're like, I ain't falling for that one. So, you know, whatever you do, don't, you know, clean my room for me, things like that. But we have to refuse. So what we do as Christians, we have freedom. And Paul knew that. And we've read this verse before, but 1 Corinthians 6:12 says this, all things are lawful. So basically what Paul was saying was, hey, I can do anything I want. I can drink anything I want. I can take anything I want. I can participate in anything I want. I can do anything I want that the devil throws at me, this world throws at me, or if my flesh desires it. I can do that, and it will not unsave me. I'm going to heaven. I accepted Christ on the Damascus Road, case closed. Not going to not go to heaven. But and the devil knows that. He's that arch enemy, that rival. But I can't get his soul, but I can be the spoiler. I can keep them from getting rewards when we get to heaven. So all things are lawful unto me, but what Paul said, all things are not expedient. In other words, it would not be the best thing for me to do. It would keep me from getting rewards. It would cause me to lose rewards. All things are expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And so we, obviously, those of you may have loved ones, you've seen them get brought under the power of alcohol, or under the power of pornography, or under the power of drugs, things like that. And it may not unsave them, but they can't shake it. They're under the power of it. They have to have it. And so that's what the devil will do. He will throw that thing out there. It looks fine. It looks, you know, tempting and things like that. But what do we need to do? Resist it, refuse it, and it will not rob you of your rewards. And that's what Paul was saying. So we have to don't take advantage of freedoms. Again, a child, a parent told them, you know, what time to go to sleep. And so then when you move out, and we got some, I don't know, yeah, we got a few here that's getting close to that age of the moving out time. And so, you know, you're going to show them. My parents always made me go to bed at, you know, 8 o'clock when I was this age, 9 o'clock when I was this age, 10 o'clock when I was this age. I'm going to show them, and I'm going to stay up all night. And yeah, the next day you're like, Oh, I showed them all right. You don't have to take advantage of your freedom. I don't have a bedtime anymore. Well, you need to. I mean, I tell my wife all the time, make me go to bed. 6:30 is fine with me. All right, let's get a good night's sleep. But no, she won't give me that rule. I'm sorry. But anyway, so again, we might get out from under some things and we have that freedom, but we don't have to take advantage of it. Again, nobody's going to tell me, we've all heard this, nobody's going to tell me what time to go to bed, what time to get up, how to cut my hair, how to dress, so I'm going to go to the military. That really makes sense, right? So same thing here. I'm an adult now, or I'm out from under my parents, or nobody's going to tell me what to do, so I'm going to take advantage of all these freedoms. We don't have to do that. We can refuse that and resist that. They were asked, spiritual parents might ask, did you read your Bible today? Nobody's going to ask me that anymore. Have you witnessed anybody this month? Things like that. We don't have to take advantage of the freedoms we get. Number two, we should refuse to allow anything or anyone to captivate us. And this is what the devil will do, and I've seen it. They let a young man get captivated by a young lady, vice versa. And that's normal. That's how God created us. That's fine. That's right. But we need to, just like God made Eve for Adam, we need to find the one God made for us. So I'm not going to let anything captivate me. And so, of course, we got Samson. He had issues with the ladies. That would captivate him. So we got to refuse. He should have resisted. I guarantee you. I mean, we know the Bible says he's in heaven. And he killed more in his death than he did in his life. But I guarantee he lost a lot of rewards. There's probably a warehouse up there and said, Samson, if you hadn't have met Delilah, if you hadn't have went down to, what is it, Timnath, the harlot down there, if you hadn't have that and hadn't have that and hadn't have that, that didn't keep you from getting here. But this is all the things that God had for you if you'd have just lived right the whole time. So he should have resisted and refused, and he would have had more rewards. So when we're out from under that, we don't need to let anything take captive us or resist and refuse anything that would captivate us. Number three, we ought to refuse to let money become an issue. We need to refuse to let money become an issue. Now, we have to have it. Nothing wrong with saving it. Nothing wrong with planning. Definitely nothing wrong with making it. You have to have it. But we ought not let it become an issue. So in other words, for instance, I've seen people like this. They're in God's will. Here's a temptation. If you move over to this area or whatever, you would make twice as much money as you're making. But there's no church in that area. Now, it might just be a temptation because you went over there making twice the money I used to make, but no church to serve in. So again, we see that the devil will do all kinds of things. He will let someone or something become the issue to steal your rewards. He will let money become the issue to steal your rewards. God's will says that He will supply all your need according to His riches and glory. So if you'll just serve God, you might not be as rich as you could have been if you took that job, but you'll be in God's will where He will protect you and bless you and things like that. And then, you've heard these statements. I can't afford to tithe. Because why? The money's the issue. I can't afford to tithe. If I tithe, I can't pay my bills. According to the Bible, you can't afford not to tithe. You need to, don't let, why? Because God's going to bless you for that, down here and up there. But if money becomes the issue, and a lot of times we've seen it, money becomes the issue is because we bought and we bought and we bought and we charged and we put on payments and got to be smart. And the devil will tempt us with that. I got to keep up with the Joneses. I got to have, my brother-in-law got this kind of car, so I got to get this kind of car. My cousin, they live in this area, so I got to live in that area. Don't let money become the issue. Let it be God's will. If you're doing God's will, you'll be rewarded for it. Don't waste and try to keep up, things like that. Savings, paying our bills on time. Don't let money become the issue. It will rob you of your rewards. Number four, what we need to resist and refuse. The Bible says, this is kind of we have to be in the world. We're in it, but not of it, is what the Bible says. We're pilgrims passing through. So we're at our workplace or we're in our neighborhood or we're out in public. And we are to be a light to those people. We're the salt of the world, things like that. And we ought to be friendly to them. And we ought to, of course, invite them to church, witness to them, things like that. But what the devil will do is say, and this is what a lot of people out there are doing, befriend them. Make them feel comfortable. In other words, you talk like them so they'll be comfortable. You dress like them so they'll be comfortable. You change your music like them so they'll be comfortable. And so what the devil's done, he's caused us to lose our reward. Because the Bible says to sing spiritual songs and hymns. That's what God's going to bless you. That's how He's going to cause you to grow in your Christian life. But the devil says, music's not important. Who I hang around is not important. Yes, it is. You've got to refuse to, get too close to the unsaved. What we need to do is bring them to an area where we can be, we can control the atmosphere. In other words, it would be wrong for us to go, let's go to a bar with an unsaved person because I'm trying to befriend him so I can witness to him. You're not in control of the environment. All right? But the devil says, you need to be friendly to them. You don't want them to think you're better than them. So go to the bar with them or talk like them. Make them feel comfortable. And this is running rampant in our world today. Even churches have changed the way they have services so they can make people feel comfortable. We got to refuse that. We got to resist that. And the Bible also says to mark them and avoid them that walk disorderly. So whether they be unsaved or backslidden saved people, we can't let that be the issue. Pray for them. Be as friendly as possible, but always be in control of the environment. Resist that and refuse that. Number five, resist and refuse temptation placed on you by your peers. And all of us have peers. I've heard this statement before. A good place can become a bad place just like that. All right, this is a good place. And you're sitting on pews, things like that. Let's say after church. Obviously, I've been here several months now, zeroing in on a year. Nobody likes to leave here. And I like that. All right. We'll even sometimes flicker the lights. Hey. things like that. But that's a good thing. That's fellowship. That shows that we enjoy each other's company and fellowship and we love each other. We pray for each other, things like that. But a good place can become a bad place just like that. So in other words, if we're talking football, nothing wrong with that. Talking hunting, nothing wrong with that. Talking Thanksgiving and meals that we're preparing. I don't talk about that much. but anyway, we're talking about that. But then all of a sudden we go from talking about football, hunting, eating. God forbid we talk about spiritual things at church. I got witness to this person or this person's a visitor we brought today. All that's good. But then we stop in church, a good place, and we look this way. And we look that way, and we say, did you hear about? And we go to gossip. The good place just became a bad place like that. So we have to refuse. You may know the juiciest news around. And you just, I want to tell somebody. And all of a sudden somebody walks up. You got to refuse. You got to resist. The Bible says a wise man concealeth the matter. In other words, if you want to tell somebody, tell God. If it's good, juicy news, that's fine. But if it's bad, juicy news, pray for them. God help them in that situation. But we don't need to take a good place and make it a bad place just like that, just because of the temptation. Why? Because the devil's just trying to steal your reward. You leave and go home, that was gossip. I succumbed to the devil's temptation. That was just, it was such good, juicy information. It made me feel like I knew something nobody else did. And that's what he's doing. He's trying to rob you of your rewards. God, I don't know why, but I do know this information. So you just have your will and way. It's staying right here. God will reward you for that. Okay? So that's exactly what we see here. That temptation to say what you know. A good place becomes a bad place. Immediately, quick, refuse that temptation. Number six, refuse to allow anything to become the object of your lust or to cause you to covet. This is exactly what the devil's doing. He's throwing it out there. What we have to do is refuse it and resist it. Anything that would cause us to lust, opposite sex, okay, or cause you to covet. And the Bible is very plain about that. Let your conversations be without covetousness. Oh, I wish I had. Oh, I wish I had. What the devil's doing is trying to get your focus off of God and what you wish you had. And he did it. You have to resist that. Again, nothing wrong with having things. Nothing wrong with taking care of things like that. But when that becomes the issue, you know, I need a second and a third job so I can keep up with my neighbor because they're building onto their house and we need to build onto our house. Or I need to buy this type of clothes, things like that. What he's done, he's got our focus off God and being submitted to him. And it's just temptation, covetousness. I got to have. That's what's going to make me happy. And again, the Bible has several verses where that person, that became their focus. And they forgot about God, they forgot about their family, they forgot about their friends, and they were so focused on getting that. And they got it. And the Bible goes on to say, and again I'm paraphrasing here, and that is their reward. In other words, yeah, it brought them happiness. It brought them excitement. Oh, I got it, finally. But then, what have you lost because of it? God's favor, God's blessing, your family, your friends, things like that. But I got this. That's exactly what the devil's doing. So what we have to do is resist, refuse, all the way to our reward. Number 7, refuse to waste time. Refuse to waste time. Again, I don't have time to waste time. there's so much things to do and things like that. The Bible talks about redeeming the time. We might say, I just don't have enough time for God. Or I just don't have enough time for church. Or I just don't. That's exactly what the devil does. You got to do this, and you got to pay this, and you got to make this person happy, and you got to, and you got to, and you got to, and you got to. Oh, I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. What you did, you lost your reward. Resist. Things can become time consuming. My wife and I were up here, I can't remember what day it was this week. She was doing Sunday school lesson, I was studying, and there was a car parked out here. I mean, it was parked out here for a long time. And I kept looking out there, and I could tell it was a lady in the car. And so, finally, we did something, we came out of the office, things like that, and I told my wife, I said, go out there and give that lady a track, invite her to church. She said, okay. I was like, because she's either lost, broke down, or she's looking for Pokemon. It was number 3. She was out there. I mean, she was catching Pokemon in the church parking lot. I'm like, a 40-something-year-old lady looking for Pokemon. I mean, what in the world? Okay? I mean, who has time to chase Pokemon in their 40s? Anyway, so we got to resist. Don't waste time. That's what the devil is. Oh, take some time for yourself. And you do need some time for yourself. The Bible said that Jesus went apart. I've heard people say you ought to go apart before you come apart. You do need vacations. You do need time to just relax. Do something that you enjoy. Nothing wrong with that. But again, don't let that captivate you. Don't waste time. Redeem the time, the Bible says. And the Bible, you read in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. A time to, and a time not to, and a time, and a time, and a time. So there are times, but what the devil's going to do is to tempt you to mess up your timetable. He will cause, relatives to show up that you haven't seen in years. You know where when they're going to show up? Sunday morning. Uncle Joe Bob, it's been 15 years. Oh, it's church time. What the devil wants you to do is say, come on in. We'll get a spread. We'll eat. What you should say is, get on in the car, we're going to church. All right? Be in control. Why? Because, again, what the devil's trying to do is just rob you of your reward. If you come to the house of God on Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever, God's going to bless you for that. But the devil will tempt you to mess that time up. You're tired. Or, again, if you're sick, that's a good time to stay home. All right? Don't come share it with us. But anyway, none of us want to do all that. But anyway, redeem the time. You be in charge of the time. Wow, the devil is going to tempt you to waste your time. Refuse, resist, all the way to your reward. Number 8, refuse to quit. Refuse to quit. That's what the devil, it's not worth it. It's already messed up. You've made too many mistakes. If you are still breathing, In, out, exhale, inhale, or inhale, exhale, however you want to do it. God still has a plan for you. And the devil wants you to quit. Why? Because if you quit, he knows you will not stand before God one day and receive all the rewards that you can. So we have to refuse and resist the urge to quit, because there are rewards waiting for us. So what do we have to do? Refuse, like all those men in the Bible did. And resist Satan, because he's going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. But we have to refuse and resist, so one day we'll have that reward. And we talked about it a little bit this morning. I'll read a couple verses and we'll be through. Reward, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You're going to have faith to be able to resist and refuse in God. You'll have to have faith in God, and it'll please Him. And it says here, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So these rewards right here are talking about down here. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. God will bless you. He will give you favor down here. He will reward you if you diligently seek Him. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. If you've refused and you've resisted and you've been what God wants you to be, the Bible says great is your reward in heaven. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly. I believe we read this one this morning. And my reward is with me, to give to every man according to his work shall be. So we see, Satan knows. He was there. He got kicked out of heaven. He knows that there's rewards waiting for you. So what he's going to do is try to take them away from you. I'm going to be the spoiler. Jesus beat me, and I'm going to be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever one day. But until then, I'm going to tempt. I'm going to try to hurt. I'm going to try to hurt his people that he loves and keep them from getting rewards. What we have to do is resist that, refuse that temptation, all the way till we get our rewards. Last one, Mark 9:41. He shall not lose his reward. I believe we read that in Sunday school this morning. He shall not lose his reward. So it's in the Bible that Satan can tempt you and cause you to lose some of your rewards. I don't want to lose any. Again, not because of me. But if I read the Bible correctly, I will have crowns to cast at his feet. And according to my opinion, and I believe the Bible's opinion, Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of all those rewards. All right? And so I don't want him to be shorted or shorthanded and not get those crowns cast at his feet just because Satan. Because he might be in heaven or in hell one day and not be able to be loosed and bother anybody again, but he'll have all eternity to say, I got them. I tempted them enough. They didn't resist me enough. They didn't refuse, and I kept them from getting rewards. And he'll have that throughout eternity to hold on to. That's what rivals do. You know, that year back in 1970, man, they were way better than us. They were going to the national championship, but we beat them. And we kept them from going to the championship. You know, they were way better than us. That's what they do. They hold on to those things. Like, dude, that was in the 70s. Yeah, but it happened. I don't want to give that to the devil. I want to resist him. And I want to refuse. So one day I can stand before God and cast those rewards at his feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's all stand. Resist. Refuse all the way to the rewards. If there's something tonight, again, this is between you and God, that he's tempting you with, come ask God to help you resist and refuse. And say, God, I want to stand before you one day and give an account and be able to give you some rewards back. Brother Derek.